Reedley Planning Commission meeting, held February 5, 2009, at 5 p.m., in the Reedley City Council Chambers.
Attention, salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We're gonna have, what's your name, Jennifer Hudson or something, sing the Star Spangled Banner live. Right now.
Oh, okay.
No, the comments in the paper, how they're lip syncing all these things. Okay. Who cares, man? Okay, could we have a roll call, please, Francis?
Commissioner Clemens?
Yes, here.
Commissioner Cisneros?
Here.
Commissioner Chavez?
Here.
Chairman Nord?
Here. Okay, looks like we got election of officers here, and I'd like to nominate Al for chair.
I decline.
Out, Al, out.
I'll be a commissioner for a few more years.
How long have you been here, Al?
Not long enough, like you. I'm putting a last spot here.
You chicken liver.
You want to roast me already?
You've been here a couple of years, haven't you?
Yeah, just about.
About.
Yeah, he actually ran a meeting when you and I were going.
Oh, yeah. Wow, did you see that? 9 full minutes?
Nine minutes?
Yeah.
Almost a record.
Yeah, okay.
Well, we could go after Jason here, but he's pretty green.
Grass green.
So I think, you know, it died, right, because of right. Lack of a yeah. second. So we'll make the motion that we reappoint George.
Reappoint George Nord.
Okay.
I second that.
And you'll second it, and then we're going to vote on it.
Now that he just takes over here. Okay, forewarned is forearmed. I warned you. I just thought if I felt it necessary to leave, it would be easier to leave should I not be chair.
In the event chair or vice chair needed to leave the commission would appoint somebody else in their absence.
Sure. I'm sure they would. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Ooh, we had, John did the, I don't have to worry about that, or that other board I'm on. I take minutes from another board. let's see, is that okay, Francis? You get what
That's
you needed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how about for vice chair?
Nominate John Clements for vice chair.
One second.
Any discussion? We'll just say all in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed, nay.
Abstain.
Abstain. We got an abstainer. Okay.
So you're good, George. We can carry on in your absence when you're gone.
Sure you
okay.
Can, you know.
Yeah.
I'm probably in violation of every code by being. I've been here how long? Many years, Francis? Do we figure?
I don't remember.
You don't want to purge yourself.
I asked and she didn't know earlier. A lot of years, more than two terms.
Well, I know. I think it's 12 or 13 years now, isn't it?
I think so. I think since 1990.
It seems impossible, but yeah.
See how time flies? 2:12 will be here in no time.
Okay, public comment section. We do have, we guys can be public if you want any comments outside of the, what's on the agenda. Okay, consent agenda, we've got three items here, the minutes from the December 6th. David, can we do these all in one swoop or should we do them individually?
It can all be done as one. If there's any meeting that a certain commissioner didn't attend, you want to just state that on the record and then do everything as one.
Okay, so this is 2 months, December, November and December, actually. Wait a minute, is this going back to December 6th of 07? Is that correct?
I don't think I was on there.
Yes.
It was one of them I missed.
What did we do? Look past one there?
Because I haven't had time to do the minutes, so I've been doing them as I have time.
Well, let's look at the December 6th. the only present commissioners here right now that were at that meeting are Clements and Cisneros. So if you two want to make a recommendation for the December 6, 2007, Commissioner Suimoto is no longer on the commission, and neither is Yaki.
And I think I chaired that one, yeah.
So if we can get...
So I'll move for approval for December 6th, 2007.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor? Let's see, we better roll call there, huh? Off to Francis for the roll call.
Clemens moved?
Yes.
Who seconded?
Al.
Do you want me to call the roll?
Yeah.
Commissioner Clemens?
Yes.
Commissioner Cisneros?
Yes.
Commissioner Chavez?
Abstain.
Chairman Nord?
Abstain.
And then for November 6, 2008, Chavez and Cisneros were present at that meeting. Clemens and Nord were absent.
My goodness, what a record.
You know.
Okay, so you two needed to, Al, you want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve.
And I'll second the motion.
A second. A roll call, please.
This is for November 6th?
6, 2008.
Commissioner Cisneros?
Yes.
Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Clemens?
Abstain.
Chairman Nord?
Abstain. We need to do the same for building reports, so we can tie those in with them.
Those can be combined.
Yeah, let's tie them in with each with their appropriate one.
Okay.
New business, removal of, is that Tobu?
Tobu.
Tobu Avenue median at side street intersections. Discussion only. David, I bet you got a whole report for us here.
Actually, city engineer Bruce Weber does.
Bruce has got it.
Oh, yes.
I was just talking to my neighbor about you, Bruce. Well, he didn't use your name. I was trying to find your first name. I knew it was Weber, but...
What we've got here today, this was brought to you as part of the River Ridge original project, and the Planning Commission, as a condition of approval, had required that these islands be placed on the outside streets. There are four of them here, four streets. What we're getting is we've gotten complaints from the neighbors that live in the corners there that those islands are preventing them from backing out of their driveway, from they have to make almost a U-turn to get into their driveway. If a car is parked along here, emergency vehicles can't get through there and they have to go all the way around the block. If a vehicle's parked there, garbage trucks can't make it through there. They were a nice aesthetic amenity, but they've become a safety problem.
Yeah.
And so we've had a couple of residents request that these medians be removed. As the city engineer, I don't have a problem with that. I think it's probably the best thing, but these just didn't work out the way we had hoped that they would. The streets are too narrow in order for things to get by there. We've only got, I believe, 20 feet here between the median and the curb. You put a car parked there, and that leaves about less, you know, about 10 feet. And
it's tight.
The emergency vehicles just can't get through there. So my request would be for the commission to consider allowing us to remove these.
I went out there a week ago Sunday and looked at that when I heard through Lou Ann, Traffic Safety Commissioner, that's my assistant, said that was going to come before us, and so it took it's too bad because it's a nice aesthetic, and I think the whole purpose was for that and to slow the traffic down, you know, at those intersections, but
with these intersections, Yeah, because these where these are at, there's open median there to allow people through there. But as narrow as the streets are in this area here, I think that we're not going to have that big of a problem accelerating and going too fast. They're fairly short streets.
Short blocks, yeah.
So
The one on Tobu Avenue, at that middle aisle, that stays all the
that
way
stays,
through?
That
yeah.
stays.
And it goes, does it cross Lincoln all the way through? It doesn't. It's,
yeah.
It's solid?
Lincoln.
It's the only one.
The Tobu median begins here and ends here. So it blocks off.
It blocks, okay.
These islands are basically where there's a break in the Tobu
The islands that Bruce is asking if you concur with having them removed, those were approved with the subdivision, with the River Ridge subdivision. The median in Tobu Avenue is a standard for the Tobu Avenue street.
Plan, right.
Where we continue Tobu Avenue, we're going to continue that same pattern.
Yes.
We're not suggesting that be modified because it works. The small medians on the local street were primarily an aesthetic feature, a traffic calming feature. When we got into the Reedley specific plan, we came up with a lot of changes, went through a lot of scrutiny through that committee, through Public Works Engineering and Planning, and thought that could work. Admittedly, it's a challenge public safety-wise. It's so, while from a planning perspective, we think it looks great aesthetically, we think it's effective traffic calming-wise, we think it's good for shading the neighborhood and creating a more walkable community, but we want to balance that out with public safety. We don't want to favor one over the other, and the public safety side tends to have a more rigid minimum standard. And if they're telling us that it's a concern, if there's neighborhood concern, we need to respect that.
You got that from the folks at both ends?
I've had two people complain. This guy right here has complained, lives right here. And it's either this guy or this guy came in quite a while back, probably 6 months, 8 months ago, complaining about the median.
It was both ends.
Mm-hmm. That's a tight turn to get around that driveway.
Mm-hmm.
If you look here, once these models are sold, here's the driveway for this. It's not that bad because they're not going to be trying to cross over here, but pulling out can be a real problem for them pulling out with that median.
It functions, but it's a concern to the neighbors. Mr. Weber is going to talk to the Traffic Safety Commission, get their recommendation, get the Planning Commission's recommendation and opinion, and then ultimately go to the City Council for them to decide whether or not they should be removed. So whatever your consensus is, you can give that to Bruce and he'll take that forward. Really our options are removal or letting the community know that we're not going to, clearly staff-wise, we're not, if that were to come in on another project submittal, it's not something we would recommend approval for. We would recommend that it not be added to the subdivision. Whether you think it's too extreme to remove them, or if you think you agree that it's necessary that they come out, Bruce is asking for your opinion, and he'll move that forward.
You know, at minimum, my suggestion would be, I think we need to talk to the other three residents on the corner to get an overall view of what the four on each end of it. My concern is, obviously, you want to meet the public's request for reasonable kinds of things, and it may be reasonable, but when we've only got one on each corner, you still got other houses. You got three other houses on the corner, and those folks might be liking it. I don't know why they would, but aesthetically, it may be more valuable than that.
The residents' concern is a concern of mine. I have a bigger concern about emergency services getting through there.
Bruce, if I can ask, when that was incorporated into that plan or made part of that, if it was a safety issue now, how come it was part of that?
This was done before I was on board, so I couldn't answer that.
When River Ridge was approved, we had just approved the Reedley specific plan, which called for a narrower street pattern with the setback sidewalk and landscaping strip. And that was a change from our previously adopted local street standard to a more narrow street. In addition to that narrowed street, the applicant suggested these aesthetic medians. Mm-hmm. And staff's opinion at the time was that it could work. Seeing it on the ground now, it's clear is more challenging than we thought. We could paint the curb red and prohibit parking in front of those homes.
Yeah.
What? It seemed like it's a good idea.
But it does meet... Did our fire officials check this over when it was...
That's the underlying question I would have had or still have.
At the time, it went through our normal development review process where everybody has an opportunity to look at everything and comment on it. If it were to come through today, the engineering division wouldn't support it. The emergency services department wouldn't support it.
It's something new, and it's, and things that we try that are new, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't.
And whose expense would that be, city or?
That'll be at the city's expense.
But it's already done.
Yes.
But again, you may have people that call you foolish for taking it out too. Now, as an engineer, you may care less about that, and I understand that, but I just think it'd be worth us at least getting some opinions from there and letting them know that it's certainly being considered taking it out, and for what reasons, you know, you can always tell them that, too. Just so they have some understanding, hey, there wasn't just some angry neighbor who yelled enough that finally you took them out and didn't even ask the rest of the people.
Any way you can notify the other three people, send them a letter and tell them?
Actually, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, possibly 7 houses that we have to notify.
What's the minimum required? Is it everybody that lives on that block, or is there a standard of how many feet away from the...
There's no real standard.
I would only be asking the people that live on the corners.
Right.
Or Corsicana residences.
The others, my guess would be they don't care whether
they don't. Yeah.
These people are the ones that are going to be affected by them trying to get in and out of their driveways. Not being able to park cars in front of their place because of the median. We're going to have to do something because we have to provide emergency services through there.
Access.
If we don't. There's a car parked here.
On both sides, you completely block that intersection, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
There would be no way a fire truck could get through here and over here if there were cars parked here or here. And they would have to come all the way around to get to it. And that's going to increase their response time, and that is something they do not want to do.
So Bruce, if you had cars on opposing sides of that median, one on each side there, that would be inaccessible.
You wouldn't be able to get anybody through there.
And you can't
go hard to get a car.
You barely get two cars with one park there, yeah. What's wrong with narrow?
See, we don't even go in there at all with the bus. A little bit maybe up at the top and over a little bit. But we pick up on the outside on Zumwalt. We pick up right here on Dinuba.
And what's interesting is on above here, there's about 2 or 3 more streets up here.
Right.
That intersect.
And they don't have it, right. Early and...
I think those were subsequent phases.
Stuff, yeah.
It was built in 3 phases.
The first phase, it probably wasn't going to work. It wasn't a good idea. In fact, on the first phase, they even had little roundabout circles in the center of the intersection that we took out. We said no.
Just not.
Again, it was a traffic calming.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the engineering and traffic was concerned, and aesthetics.
Sure.
And with the Reedling specific plan, we're trying to find the balance between aesthetics, walkability, and public safety.
Yep.
Well, I've got no problem with doing it. I'm just saying save yourself some grief and talk to those people.
Mm-hmm.
You might even want to just, you know, take a couple hours and go out and send them a letter. Here's what we're considering, and these are the reasons. If you have any questions, call us. And then you've relieved yourself of... Some of this is
at least mainly for safety reasons and fire, and they would understand that.
Because it does have a tendency to have some traffic coming, and then you get speeds increase. I know it's a short block.
Yeah.
Well, the main street that I've had complaints on people speeding is Tobu.
The street. Yeah.
I haven't had anybody complaining about side streets.
If there was a...
Yes.
It sounds like you're you would be okay if they were removed, but only after the neighbors are contacted to make sure they're okay with it. And you could, if that's your consensus, you could give that to city engineer through a voice vote.
Is that a consensus, Val? Agree with that?
I agree.
Okay. Proceed in peace. You may get a tree hugger once in a while. What's in those? Is there,
there are a couple small trees.
Probably crepe myrtles.
Yeah. Myrtle?
No 90-year-old redwoods that somebody can wrap their arms around.
And, neighbors, that upset, maybe we'll give them the two.
Use it on a burn day.
Yeah, put them in the rail trail where something's died or something. Exactly. Save the tree.
There you go. Okay. Thank you, Bruce. Okay, moving on to letter 8, City Commission Municipal Code Regulations, information only.
We just wanted to provide that to the commissioners and remind them that when they're going to be absent, contact Chairman Nord. If you're unable to get a hold of Chairman Nord, contact Francis or myself, and we'll make sure that it's documented that it's an excused absence.
Excuse could be almost anything that's, you know, family commitment. Even vacations are excused. Work. Yeah, flimsy, but work still kind of.
And that's why we moved to 5 o'clock, because this used to be at 4 o'clock, and it was tough for you and I to get here sometimes.
Yeah, that's true.
4 o'clock?
It used to be at 4 o'clock, yes. Yeah, it's pretty early.
Yeah.
And so we moved it to 5 o'clock, and actually we got a little more community participation as a result of that.
Yeah, it made it a little easier for people to get here and participate too.
And then we did later times when we knew we were going to have an audience, like the Walmart. We would schedule those at 7 or 7:30 or
community
6
huh?
or whatever.
Okay, and then there's a couple pages here on what chapter 1 of, but we all need to skim over and make sure that.
Is that related to what again?
Familiar with that.
Oh, that was the periods of time that these durations of our appointments were.
Yeah, it includes that one on absenteeism, term limits, let's see what it says.
Those
two consecutive terms.
Unless so desired by counselor.
Unless you keep getting elected to the chair.
Don't mention that one to Ted. I'm sure Ted would love to chew on that one for a while.
Well, it says, unless the city council shall otherwise determine by resolution. So when they reappoint you, they're well aware that you've served beyond standard.
They want your expertise, George.
My expertise. I don't have any more expertise. Okay, all right, we covered that. Now we're down all the way to commission and comments and reports. Any questions of staff, comments for staff and the good of the cause?
Business is slow, I take it.
Actually, we're kind of busy. I'll let you know the conditional use permit for the 14-child daycare that was before the Planning Commission and denied was appealed to the City Council, and the City Council upheld the appeal. They modified the hours of operation to be 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you noticed, our Walgreens is under construction, and they're going as quickly as they can, hope to be complete with the building in June. We have our I Street project that's under construction and should be complete end of April.
Can you tell me about that?
There's approximately 6,000 square foot commercial building immediately west, northwest of Accelerate Fitness.
Oh, okay. The Fresh and Easy.
That's not the Fresh and Easy building. The Fresh and Easy will be in between the building that's under construction now and the Blockbuster building.
Okay.
The building that's under construction is Our Town Investors. It's a little bit over 6,000 square feet, and they've got four suites inside that building. One of which is looks like a relocation of the Radio Shack, so we'll need to see what we can do to about the Town and Country Shopping Center. No identified users on the other three suites.
So that's not the market.
No, that's not.
Gosh, I was looking forward to having the market open.
Oh, I thought that was the market.
But I thought for,
because it looks very much like the market that they built down where the old Hofbräu was downtown Fresno.
What our town investors is building their commercial building, and also building the on-site improvements, the parking landscaping, and building a pad that when that's complete and ready to go is when Fresh and Easy is supposed to come in and start their construction. Fresh and Easy does have construction improvement plans in that are under review by the building division.
Okay.
And then
David,
we have
a question. Are those open to public review, or is it something, or is that a private process?
The site plan?
Yeah.
You're welcome to come in. It's all public record. You're welcome to come in and look at those. Anybody in the public's welcome to come in and look. Talk to Francis, Rob, Terry, the assistant planner, or myself, and we'll be happy to get those out for you. And then upcoming projects, we have our housing element updates under review. Should be coming before the Planning Commission in probably late spring.
Say that again.
The housing element update.
Oh, okay.
Our general plan update, we're just getting started on the environmental impact report, utility master planning, and some of that material will be coming back before you in late spring and into the summer. We are currently working with Quad Knopf on preparation of an environmental impact report for the Reedley Family Apartments. So that project will be back before you, again, late spring, early summer.
Which ones now? The ones?
The Reedley Family Apartments, the 800 nice. Affordable housing project on East Avenue and I Street.
Is there any organized opposition still in place for that?
I would expect so. I
expect
say.
There is. I haven't heard anything specific, but I don't think they're going to go down easy.
And then a new project that's under review by staff right now is Blossom Trail Development. That's at the southwest corner of Zumwalt and Manning Avenue. It's 40 acres total, 10 acres of commercial, 30 acres of residential. As we're processing that now, going through the initial environmental review and working through the applications, once that's complete and circulated, we'll schedule it for hearing and bring it before the Planning Commission. It involves general plan amendment, zone change, annexation, and subdivision, and plan unit developments. So that will come to the Planning Commission for recommendation and move on to the City Council for approval.
It's a southeast corner? Or the southeast?
Southwest corner.
Or south, okay.
Commercial or residential?
It's both. 10 acres of commercial, 30 acres of residential.
Okay.
Zumwalt and what now?
Manning.
And Manning.
And that'll adjoin, or that will approach
immediately,
the...
Immediately north of the Silas Barge school site and east of the Thiele old Salwasser plant.
Okay, yeah.
Dave, will that, just without looking at on the map really quickly, how close will that come up to the school's property?
Yes, it will.
Okay, it'll be
across the street from the school's property. The project will probably involve completion of, I believe it's North Avenue that's in front of the Silas Barge School, construction of Tobu Avenue that would be the west side of the 40 acres, and ultimately that'll connect down to the River Ridge subdivision where Tobu Avenue currently terminates. It'll be some time before the areas in between develop, and we can't control that. And that's everything that's going on with us. So,
nothing between Silas Barch and Button Willow, though, at this point?
No.
To give us connectivity.
The annexation may involve portions of those properties if that's necessary to comply with the Memorandum of Understanding with Fresno County.
LAFCO.
And LAFCO.
Who's the developer there?
It is DW Land Development. Is that the...
DW?
DW Land Development.
Anything local?
They're not local. They've done stuff in Monterey, Salinas, Sanger, other areas in Fresno.
Whose land is that?
The current property owner is Barsoom Farms. Barsoom Brothers Farms.
School property from.
Yeah.
So actually, even though things are supposed to be slow, we're kind of busy.
Any house
We had three new home permits the first week of February. That's this week. In the Orchard 2 subdivision. We also have house plans in for Self-Help Enterprises that has purchased 44 lots from Orchard 2. Those will be on the southern end of the subdivision. They have not pulled building permits yet, but they'll do 11 at a time. They have 11 families at a time that build their homes together, so that'll come in four batches.
I know there's some concern out there about that self-help and them not being homes of, what shall I say, equal aesthetics or equal whatever of what's...
The house plans that we have are slightly smaller. We don't regulate square footage of homes, but we are holding them to the same standards as the Reedley specific plan and trying to get them to match the architecture, style, color of the Orchard 2 homes. Orchard 1 started with homes that were in the 2,300 square foot range.
26 even.
And then bigger. And then with the change in the market, transitioned into the southern end of Orchard 2 and the northern end of Orchard 1. They've actually brought in house plans that comply with the Reedley specific plan that are down to the 1,700-1,800 range. And then the self-help homes maybe down to 1,500-1,400. So they're smaller, but hopefully they match the architecture. Or they will be required to match, be similar to the architecture and style.
They're not the design, but the facade, is that subject to anybody's approval?
It needs to comply with the Reedley specific plan, and that plan includes details down to it must have usable porches, and the garage needs to set back. And then beyond that, we're asking them to match the color, material type, roof material. They've changed as they've moved along. So hopefully it looks like it transitions well from Orchard 2 with the largest homes at the north all the way down to self-help at the south end and matches as well as possible.
I could qualify to build a home.
We can give you self-help's contact information.
You'd be right in there, man.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
You keep the other one for rental.
The other self-help homes have been kept very well, I think, in the community.
You have to, once you get it, you have to live in it for, at least 5 years, don't you?
Oh, but they've kept them up pretty good on the east side.
Yeah.
You put your sweat into it, it needs a lot more than...
Sure it does.
If the bank gives you your money, it's zeroed down.
Yeah, exactly, where you can walk away from it.
Man, what a mess, huh? Mm-hmm.
That's everything I have.
Nothing in that shopping center. That little shopping center on Franklin and Olson there? Or?
Hasn't been any interest in anything there for quite a while.
Pile up dirt on there.
If we get something, I'll let you know. That was the neighborhood commercial at the... on the west side of the Orchard, or the Orchard 2 subdivision, Olson and Frankwood.
Also, that Morea Estates right there on Frankwood and Shoemake, I saw that in the papers foreclosed, and they're putting in for an extension.
The property ownership may be in transition, but the map is an entitlement that stays with the property. They had submitted a letter for an extension, but it is... Senate Bill, I think 1185, was an automatic one-year extension for approved tentative maps, and we have given them a letter that says the city recognizes the SB 1185 one-year extension, so their map has been extended. Hmm. You had extended them, I believe, once through a request that came before you. The Senate Bill action gave them an additional year. We recognized that, refunded their extension request. They're good for another year, and then if they seek another year beyond that, it'll have to come back to you.
That's a statutory, for the entire state, is that something that...
Yes. There were stipulations that could have given us some discretion because they had already received an extension from you.
Prior to the bill taking?
Prior to that state action, but for simplicity's sake, we've opted to just recognize it for all maps, so there's no perception that we're favoring one project over another, and give given the way things are going, they may be back before you in another year.
And David, just for understanding's sake, was that something that was done for economic? I mean, it was.
It was done because of the downturn in the
housing.
In the housing market. Understanding that they put several years into getting a project to that point, give the economy time to recover so that they'll have an opportunity to follow through on their maps. That may or may not work, but it was an action that the state thought was beneficial, and they've given that to us, so we passed it on.
The Raven packing house, the property there just south of Smith Auto, there's some kind of auto shop going in there or something, huh?
Chavez old place.
The property owners have started doing some work. The building official has talked to them. I actually met with the building official and the property owner today, and they're going to be processing a site plan review application.
Okay.
They already built three stalls there.
That'll tell us what they're going to do there. So that's a staff level review. It's something we'll do at staff level.
The old Ballantyne, the old Ballantyne.
Oh, yeah. I saw them working there.
Just crossed.
They started with some demolition work that the building official was aware of, and then transitioned into getting started on their ultimate plans. So.
Yeah, there was some concern in the community that was called to my attention about possible asbestos removal that may not have been attention to the air district or something. And
I'll relay that to the building official and have him look into it.
Okay, thank you.
The old Brett's Ford place, just sitting idle, I guess, huh? Today's market, we're not going to have too many new car dealerships come around, are we?
There might be two car dealerships for sale. Yeah. One in Dinuba, too, you know.
Well, no, Brett's is closed in Dinuba, the Deenan or whatever it is at bottom.
Dino owns the Chevy dealer in the corner, Ford. But the Ford that he moved from here to there, their shop is closed, and I think they're just finishing up the sale of whatever cars they may have, and the word is on the street that it's going to close, the one that he moved to. And Dina's on the corner is a separate entity.
Yeah, it's a separate Chevrolet dealership.
Closing too.
Oh, really?
He's in bankrupt.
Yep. Who currently owns this Ford?
Brett Northington owns the property.
He does?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he had a loan through Ford, didn't he, when he bought that?
I'm not sure. The city has been in contact with him about the intentions of his property, and if anything develops, we'll let you know. He had brought a used car dealership for a while that didn't last very long, and then soon after it moved back to Dinuba. I believe his new dealership's closing also.
Keep wondering when the old so-called Walmart site will get some new interest, but I guess today's economy probably doesn't promote that too much, does it?
Good time to build if you...
You got the bucks, huh?
You got the bucks. Interest is low. Property values are lower.
This little shopping center, there's three vacant buildings there now already.
Where's this?
At the Longs. Three buildings are vacant already.
Three suites or...
Three suites.
Mm-hmm.
Not.
We will have to stop calling it the Longs Shopping Center because it's going to become a CVS.
CVS, yeah.
Oh.
This is Riverwalk. Much more classy.
Riverwalk. Yeah,
Riverwalk. Park. Oh, that Longs anyway.
Riverwalk.
How about that intersection there at Reed and Manning? That was in line, I think, for some work some time ago, wasn't it? And that's how I remember whatever grants or whatever did not come through.
We have several large capital improvement projects. I'm not sure on the timing. I know there's a Reed Avenue project that we're considering, a Frankwood Avenue project that we're considering, Dinuba Avenue roundabout. All of those things, I believe, have some kind of funding coming from state and federal sources that there seems to be quite a bit of disruption on. I could try and get, maybe ask the capital improvement projects manager to come back and fill you in or give us a memo on what projects may be coming in the future.
David, on that topic, are the... if there's talk of a federal stimulus plan and there's, in the media there's been talk about if these projects are, they're using
shovel ready,
or are projects at that point?
We have some. The city of Reedley provided a fairly long list of things that we can be doing right away if money comes our way. Do you recall what those were? Mike, there's... And a lot of those are related to the capital improvement project list. My understanding of the capital improvement project list is that it's 5 years out and it's prioritized what we're going to work on. And so there are things that we've had in the works we may not necessarily have all the funding for, but we've done preliminary work that gets some of the environmental review out of the way, some of the planning out of the way, some of the engineering out of the way that gets it to the stage that the stimulus package is looking for, something that's ready to go right away.
Got to work on it.
I'll see if we can get the capital improvement projects manager to give us at least a memo or update on what we have lined up.
Fresno County Council of Governments went to all the cities in the county and asked them for a list of, I think, shovel-ready and also shelf-ready projects. Shelf-ready haven't completed all of those hurdles. You know, sometimes maybe there's a EIR still pending or some other things, and they know there's stimulus money coming. This came up, and I serve on the Measure C Oversight Committee, and one of the concerns was if there's a project out there that is shovel-ready that's slated for Measure C, let's go get the federal stimulus money and work on that project so that we can take Measure C monies and move it down the line to a project that maybe isn't quite so ready yet, so that we can get more bang for the buck on the Measure C dollars, you know, that come from our sales tax, our local
money.
Right. Use the federal. And one example of that was discussed in great detail was the extension of the 180 East. Because it's pretty much, that section now from Temperance out to Academy is pretty much shovel ready to go.
That'd be a big deal for the region. Big
deal for our area on the east side. So, you know, Mark Johnson, superintendent from Sanger's on that committee. What's his name? Drawing a blank. There's a representative from the Dunlap area. I serve on there as the school bus liaison, but of course I'm going to be active and ask questions about everything. And so we brought that up because we felt that needed to come this way. But the director for the COG basically said that cities were being asked for their specific projects because so many dollars would be earmarked to go out to cities for small projects that they need to have done that they've been waiting on. So yeah, it's kind of exciting to see how that may work out.
Create jobs.
What any project means is it more of its what does that mean exactly?
And I don't know the exact terms. Maybe you've heard it, Mike, but it.
Oh yeah, no, I know.
The shelf still has some hoops to go through. It could be maybe not all of the right-of-ways are ready yet. It could be, you know, the environmental's maybe not complete. It could be that there's still some bidding or something that needs to be done. You know, one of the concerns is that as the stimulus comes, right now is a good time to build because, you know, the concrete,
the costs are down.
Yeah, the costs are down. And one of the concerns is that once all these projects come in and we start to work to put people back to work and the stimulus, you know, then it's approved, then spending confidence is up. We're going to see fuel prices start to go back. We're going to see concrete and steel and lumber and all that other stuff. And here we're all going to be out there trying to do these small projects, and then there might not be enough people to do the projects or enough equipment or enough materials. You know, so it's feast or famine.
Yeah, they're talking about requiring American-made steel, for example, to be used on projects. Or
should.
I think that's
interesting.
That's pretty, I mean, if I was a legislator, I'd push for that to have American, you know, materials.
So, you're right, though. You got to space these out. Otherwise, everybody's trying to do everything in the first 10 minutes of the thing. And how about the Valley Blueprint, David? Did you go to that meeting?
I attended the Blueprint Summit. It was effectively... It served as a public meeting for public input. We used their clicker technology to vote on what that group thought was the right recommendation. Again, it was it will serve as a public input recommendation. It was predominantly made up of government employees and government officials.
Planners.
And the recommendation was for option C. There were four options, option A, option B1 and B2, and then option C. And option A was do things as we're doing them now. Option B was do things as they've been done in just a more narrow window, maybe the last 5 to 7 years. Option B2 is do that same building level that we've seen over the last 5 to 7 years, but with enhanced transportation systems to make them more efficient, fewer vehicle miles traveled, with the assumption that that would reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And then option C was increased density to 10 units an acre. So one is at about 4 units an acre, one's about 6 units an acre, one's about 10 units an acre. And the option C with the 10 units an acre comes with the enhanced multimodal transportation system. The advocates for option B were saying density is not going to give you the greenhouse gas emissions. It's the multimodal transportation system, so we'd like to see what that looks like with the building as we've been building. And the end result was that you didn't get much increase in, or much benefit for greenhouse gas emissions. The consensus was option C, which is 10 units an acre. And that's one recommendation that will go to the advisory board and ultimately come back through each jurisdiction for each jurisdiction to vote on what they support. So that will be coming back to, I don't know if you're going to have an opportunity for it to come back to the Planning Commission or if it goes directly to City Council.
That also will go to the state legislature too, will it not? Does that go soon or when? Where does that fall?
I'll get back to you on that. I think it's sometime in the summer. I'll try and get you.
Relatively soon, there's going to be that recommendation to the legislature, and then they'll start tying it into legislation for future funding, is at least my understanding.
That's not anything that's written down as a plan. That's the assumption. Right now, it's just a document for information purposes, get us all to be organized and do things in a uniform manner. The assumption is that down the road it'll be tied to state funding, that if you're not complying with your local regional blueprint with regard to planning related issues or other issues, that somehow, some way in the future might be used to designate where certain funds are going to go for certain projects.
Interesting debate, huh?
Yep.
Everything okay in your area, Mike?
Okay. Do you have a travel freeze, or are you going to do Planning Commissioner Institute, because that's typically in March?
Let me talk to the Assistant City Manager and see if there's... It has not been budgeted for. I don't know if there have been changes in the budget, if there's interest on the commission's
part. You know, I'm out for March, but and I went last year. I'm just thinking, you know, for Jason, maybe that's new if he's wanted to go. It's an eye-opener.
What does it consist of, John?
It's a couple days of
classes,
going to classes. It's workshops. It's actually, we did the blueprint thing where we did the clicker deal, and that it's good lessons.
It's a really
broad-based.
In the past, we had budgeted a certain amount, usually for two commissioners to go, understanding that all of the seated commissioners now have had an opportunity except for one. I'll talk to the Assistant City Manager, see if there's any way we could find resources if you'd be interested.
And also the incoming one, February 24th or...
That's true, we got a new one.
Yeah.
They have classes for beginning commissioners, and then there's planning and... I attended a class last year that was... how these communities have burned down because of poor planning, you know, like Tahoe and down by San Diego, and they had fire experts come in and talk about, you know, how the densities or the being up against the chaparral was poor planning and what they could have done to correct those things. And
you know, is this? And then the Valley Blueprint was there, and Fred Bruce-Wales, our former community development director, was there and gave an outstanding class on, similar to the blueprint, how this area is becoming urbanized and what the growth will be X number of years from now, and what it could conceivably look like. And it kind of opens things up to where you make decisions here based on what you've been given guidance
to.
Yeah, exactly.
It hasn't been budgeted for this year, but I'll ask and then obviously lobby for that for next fiscal year.
Sure.
I had one concern over here on North Reed and Parlier Avenue, those camper apartments on the corner. Where the church is, there's a red curb painted on there, all the way almost to the corner, to where you're going to make a right on Parlier going east, to where there shouldn't be any parking there. And I travel that every day, and on the right-hand side, there's a camper apartment, and there's a line of cars parked all the way out, beginning right in the corner of that intersection.
And you can't see around
those
cars.
You can't see. You got to pull almost in the middle of the street to see if there's any cars coming from this side to go across, and by that time, there's cars coming from the north, south, coming at you, you know, and you got to back up, and there's traffic back there. You can't back up. And it's very dangerous. I think they should paint that few feet there, a red curb or something, because it hasn't been an accident there yet, but that's a very, very busy intersection.
What intersection? Parlier and what?
Parlier and Reed, the northeast side.
In front of those apartments. Yeah. It's just a bad line of sight. I agree with you.
It's really bad. Yeah. I go there every day, and I mean, it's...
It's your mail route. You're out there, and that truck, those trucks are low.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, I mean, there's semis coming at you out there, and it's hard. So I just wanted to bring that up.
We'll get that to a city engineer and take a look at it.
Thank you.
So do we have a graffiti team still going in town?
I believe we do.
Okay.
How do I put I got tagged my place last week.
I think you can call CURE, which is with the fire department. I think it's Clean Up Ridley's Environment. And if they're not the right people to talk to you, they'll direct you to the right people to get the graffiti team out.
Dana Logan is in charge of graffiti.
I think if you contact CURE, they'll wind up dispatching them to deal with that.
Now, are you telling us, I thought individual resident owners were responsible for their own fencing. Is that not true?
I'm not sure.
Does the city politely provide that? I don't think they're required to do it.
I don't know the answer.
They did on my block fence in the alley. The city went out and painted it. It's about a few years back.
I thought there was even some kind of ordinance in place that said if you don't cover the graffiti within X amount of hours or whatever, you can be cited for leaving it on your fence. Not true?
Commissioner Chavez, for your benefit, contact CURE to find out if it's something that you're supposed to deal with or if they'll deal with it for you. And then I'll actually ask them to submit something that we could get before you so you know what the rules are. There was a property maintenance ordinance that was passed a few months back, and we'll get either a summary of that back to you or maybe ask them to give a presentation if you'd like that.
Just so we're clear on that, I didn't know there was some tagging over in our neighborhood, John. Mm-hmm. Remember, maybe a year or two ago.
Yeah, and I know those neighbors got out there and sanded down the fence and cleaned it up. You know, our school district now has a partnership with the city of Orange Cove, and they've just found this new product. It looks like green slime. They call it elephant snot. And you can actually paint it. It comes in a big 5-gallon pail, and you paint it. Sidewalks, stucco, wood, whatever. And you give it about a half hour, and then you come back with a high-pressure washer, and it comes right off. And we've developed our own high-pressure washer that the paint crew trucks out behind their truck, and we're staying on top of it, or trying to. But this product is pretty awesome. They gave a report to our school board last time, and it was mentioned in today's paper as well. But they call it elephant snot,
And it's just like that slime that kids used to play with.
Yeah.
You put in your tires and you smear it. They just paint it on and they wait. They wait about a half hour and then hose it right on. Yeah. It's pretty remarkable. Sad that we have to do that, but I was in Dinuba yesterday and noticed, I dropped something off at my brother-in-law's and went down his alley and my dad says, "Oh, you got hit again, huh?"
Well, Kingsford got a big deal going too. They had a, I think the Bulldog Gang or something had hit this one house that was vacant, and of course everybody was bellyaching over who should have done it. And
it's too bad.
I know. I think they were working on the principles.
Well, I know. A few years back, we had a graffiti team here. I used to, you know, volunteer.
Oh.
And we'd get up on Sunday morning and come over to the police department and grab the paint and brushes and stuff, and we'd go. Because they do it Saturday night and we go there Sunday morning.
They'd be gone.
Yeah, it'd be gone. And that's what they didn't like. You know, they want to see their
mark and you marked it out.
Yeah.
That's cool.
We especially in the east side, Save Mart, but come behind the fences and stuff. And
this was always getting hit.
But that's, I don't know, that was a few years back.
Hey, we made it a full hour. Look at that, George.
Yeah, this meeting's adjourned.